say, good morning, God loves you, and so do I.
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you? I'm in quarantine. Good to see you.
I had one for the office too.
Okay, then but Kelly had the key.
Yeah, I guess they're back.
Okay.
So
love you.
I was back as soon as I got done taping or copying the tape.
So if you want to, I'll take this stuff back. I'm going to start separating up those over.
Okay.
Two onions? No.
I'm just going to throw out there, that doesn't count as my minutes of being able to speak. So. Now, it's really nice to see everyone up and smiling.
The roast is going to burn today.
I think we kind of lose that sometimes, and I always love that. Okay, well, I was asked several times what my message is, what the title is, and I ran into Steve and Allison when I was visiting Aunt Dreda, and I said, I don't know, failure, miserable, unworthy, saved. I didn't throw that in there, but that's the grace that I have, and I want to talk about, I don't know if I should read it or not, but I'll just, tears came into my eyes, and I'm sure a lot of people with the song Amazing Grace, and it's not the music, it's the words. And I encourage you, I brought it up here, but like I said, I don't know whether to read it, but the words to Amazing Grace, I encourage you to pull the hymnal out sometime and just read it. And it fits my life, and it fits my message, that because of God's amazing grace, I stand here before you, saved and knowing that I'm not condemned to hell and that I will see my loved ones in heaven again someday. So, I thought about, is this a message? It's not a sermon, I'm not a pastor, and I certainly don't feel worthy to be up here preaching. And they always say when you point your finger at someone, how many is pointing back? Three more. And that's definitely true in my case. But I got to thinking, a message. Am I giving a message today? A message is something that you pass on. You give to someone from somebody else. And I thought, today I want to give a testimony. Because a testimony is about me and my life. So that's why the title, All About Me. And I've scribbled notes and over the last couple of weeks after I knew I was going to be here, and everything always jumbles for me. So I just kind of take it on the fly. So I apologize if I do skip around. But I wanted to give my testimony rather than tell anyone else what they should be doing. Because I know I'm certainly not doing everything that Christians should be doing. And I'm certainly doing things that a Christian should not be doing. And that bothers me, and it should, that I'm not living the way I should, as often as I should. So just to give you a little background of my testimony and how God has worked for me in my life, maybe you can apply it to yours, someone you know, whatever. But this is coming from the horse's mouth. That's me, which, by the way, I was asked if I minded being videotaped or put on Facebook. Not real thrilled about it, because, you know, they say that it adds 20 pounds to you. So just keep that in mind, those of you watching. Can you guys hear me good? Okay. Like I said, I certainly don't want to judge or tell others what to do. And this this is from my experience. Raised in this church by a Christian family. By the grace of God, I was born into a Christian family that came to church, that taught you the right morals and values. Even though I didn't always live up to them, I certainly understood and respected them. I was involved in the church, in youth group. And one night they played a movie here called A Thief in the Night. I was about 16 years old, and it scared me. It scared me. It was about the tribulation, and people were being beheaded on it because of their faith. And that frightened me. It shouldn't have. I should have been looking at the end of it, where, you know, the outcome's what matters, not what you go through, but the outcome. And the outcome is, if you are saved by God's grace, His amazing grace, that doesn't matter. That's just a moment in time. I get to spend eternity in heaven. But that's not how it went. I said, God, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give up my sin. And you know, I think back, that was kind of profound for a 16-year-old to know that, you know, I kind of like doing what I want to do. I don't want to, you know, be a stuffy old Christian. But I didn't understand that, even coming through church. You know, you always focus on certain things. So I asked God, Lord, just wait for me. Please, please wait for me. Don't let me die, because I know I have to accept your forgiveness and your grace before I can get the rewards. And I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I wouldn't have asked him to wait. I wish I would have just gone forward and said, you know what, I need you in my life. Because I can tell you, now, looking back, my life would have been a lot easier. A lot easier. You know, when you live in sin, you have a lot of repercussions from it. And sometimes they lead you the rest of your life. I was fortunate that not only did God let me live, obviously I'm here, but His grace was more than sufficient. So, I finally grew up, got married, and as you're getting ready to have a family, you reevaluate things. And I was in church and I felt a tugging, and I went forward and I said, God, I'm ready. Thank you for waiting. I'm ready. Probably said, boy, that took too long. But here I am. So we had kids, came to church, had our kids involved in church, and then unfortunately life and excuses happened. And we stopped coming as frequently. And I'm horrible. When I stop doing something, it takes me forever to get back into the swing of it. Excuse me. So it took me a while to get back into it. During this time, my mother had several medical things. She had a stroke, she had cancer. And I never lost my faith. But I did lose my way and my path. I went through a lot of depression to the point where I committed myself. Some of you know this, I might have talked about it before, and I apologize if you're hearing some of the same things. So I had my mother's illness, I had the fact that she was dying, I had work as Peg. Someone mentioned earlier, I work in the prison system for 25 years. I saw a lot of horrors, a lot of frustration, some good things there. And I was just overwhelmed. 3 young kids at home, work, mother dying. And like I said, I just was overwhelmed. And I want you to turn to, if you would, Psalm 40. I never realized how much things that you go through are written out and explained to in the Bible, too. Psalm 40, verse 2. You know, God was gracious enough that he did this for me. Am I good? All right, it says here, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He did that for me. I was in that pit. Didn't know how to climb out. I never wanted to take my own life, but I was begging God to take it for me. Just get me out of here. Let me hit a bear or a deer or something, crash into a tree. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this. And again, fortunately, he heard me. While we're in, Like I said, I apologize for bouncing around here. Second Corinthians 12, 9 through 12. So 2 Corinthians 12, that's towards the back here. I didn't cheat, usually I put post-it notes in, so I'm flipping with you here. 2 Corinthians 12. And it's verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I love that verse. When I am weak, I am strong. I lean more on God. I hadn't been during that time. And when I finally cried out, and I was weakest, I leaned on him. And unfortunately, a lot of times, that's what a lot of people, I'll put back to myself, do, is we don't think of God and asking him and praising him when things are going well. It's when we're in the pit, when things are bad. So when I am weak, I am my strongest because I depend on the Lord. I gave a message here once about the prodigal son. Everyone's familiar with that, the father of the two sons. One takes the money and runs, has fun, blows it away, comes back begging for the father's forgiveness. The other son's a little perturbed that this son gets all the praise. Oh, he's back, yeah, you know. Well, I've been here. I've been the one doing everything. And the father says, you've had me and everything I have. He went astray and lost everything. Is it not good that he comes back to me? You know, that's what Christ wants us to do. He doesn't want us to stray, but he knows we're going to. And he wants us to come back. And he's our father. He wants his children to come to him. So, that really hit me and got me back into church again. One night I was at my cousin's house, and after I left, I got a phone call on the way home that an acquaintance of ours had passed away. My first thought was, it couldn't happen to a better person. He wasn't a very nice guy. And I very much doubt, and that's, I shouldn't judge, but it hit me. Billy, you just made a comment about a man that could possibly be going to hell. That's not what you should be doing. And instead of just letting that go, you should be telling people, when it's hard. It's hard to tell people about Christ, especially people that haven't grown up in church. Because you get ridiculed sometimes. Or, you know, you get called a hypocrite, which I know I am. I am. I don't want to be. And what I say is, yes, I sin, but because I am saved, I'm forgiven. Back to work. I almost quit. Had a really hard time with that, but God had other plans. I had a couple coworkers that were my friends, and we eat lunch together. And I don't know how, but we got on a discussion about the Bible, why I think it's true. And it was a very heated discussion on their part. As I'm talking, I'm saying a little prayer to God, please, Lord, you know, I'm not an expert in the Bible by any means. Let me say the right things. Let me honor you in your word. Let me, you know, give them something. And like I said, it got very heated, and I had one of them finally throw up her hands and yell very loud that it turned heads. Curse word about my Bible, my book. You know, one of the questions is, what's written? It's just written by men. Well, a lot of people believe in science, and science was discovered and written by men. You know, that was one of my arguments with them. And also, you know, when you read the Bible, so many people have gone to the Bible to try and disprove it and actually have become Christians. That's how powerful this book is. So we left lunch, not talking. I wasn't angry, I was just frustrated and hurt. And I felt lost because I don't want my friends to not be in heaven someday with me. And I went to my office, and being a prison, there were always those little New Testament Bibles. And I had one in my office that I would read. And I just was sitting there, and I opened it up, and I'll let you turn to Proverbs 16:7. And I always list this as one of my favorite verses, because when I turn to this, it just made sense. And I'll tell you in a minute how that verse worked for me. So Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, I knew our friendship was gonna, you know, be okay. This was just, you know, something that happened. But I read that, and not even 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from the one that cursed my Bible. And she said, Billy, I'm so sorry. She said, I'm so sorry. I never meant to do that. I don't know why I said it, and I know how you feel, and I'm so sorry. And I said, can I read you something? She said, yeah. So I said, and I told her, I said, I went back after that, and I pulled this out, and I opened it, and this is the verse that came out to me, and I read it to her. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. And that's what I got, was silence. She said, finally said, wow. And I said, that's how my Lord works for me. So, going through that, you know, tough conversation, I put that thought in her head. I gave her something to think about and how the Lord has worked in my life. I failed miserably after that with her. And another thing that happened with that conversation in the lunchroom is I had another coworker that I had worked years with before, and then again, so sad because he came up to me later and he said, I didn't know you were a Christian. That bothered me. I mean, I didn't act like an idiot and curse and swear and scream and holler and, you know, anything like that at work. But I did not outwardly show or acknowledge that I am a Christian in my walk. And I changed so that I could do that more often. Again, I failed. Hence why this should be titled, I'm a Failure. You know, but there's hope. And I keep trying. life's really hard to be a Christian. God knew from the start we were going to sin. I mean, how do you go up against that? You just pray. Prayer is the strongest thing. And I try. More recently, I haven't been going to church as much as what I should. And I always feel better when I do. I don't know why I get out of that habit. But recently, I started thinking about this generation that's coming up in this world. We're losing the greatest generation day by day. The ones that have lived through actual trial and tribulation on this earth in this lifetime. And their stories, their testimonies are being lost. They're not able to give their personal account. So we have to rely on books. We're going to, at some point. And my concern too is that the books are disappearing. The books are disappearing, and technology can change with a click of a button. This didn't happen, or it's gone and erased forever. And I thought, you know, if I have a hard time, if I struggle with being a Christian, what's my grandson going to do? How's he going to make it in this world? You know, I had a conversation with my daughter last night, and she said, Mom, it's hard to talk to people, you know, as a Christian. She said, you're ridiculed. We talked in Sunday school about, you know, Satan's very good at using Bible verses, you know, God's words, and twisting them. And she said, that's what they do. And she said, I don't feel confident enough to respond to that. And it's scary. You know, you don't want to lose your friends. You don't want to lose family by offending them or them thinking you're weird because you start talking in terms that, you know, the Lord. You know, that sounds funny outside of church and church people. They don't understand. And I guess what I'm going to start doing is giving my testimony of how the Lord works, but it's getting harder and harder for people to come to Christ. And I'm not sure that many, and I could be wrong, but I've had a pastor tell me, and I know my son and I have had this conversation, that he's spoken with a pastor that they will not preach on hell or fire and brimstone, and I don't understand how people can be saved if they don't know what they're being saved from. You know, your children, you teach them not to touch a hot stove because they get burnt. Well, this is about me. I'm failing because I'm worried about this generation, but what am I doing with my grandson? By me not going to church, which means, guess what? He's not going to church. So, I need to stop worrying and start doing. It's hard. It's just hard to do. I feel that we need to know. We need to know what's coming. The good, but also the bad. Because if everything's going great in your life, why do I need God in it? And that's what a lot of people think. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe in hell. and they don't know who Christ is, because we talk very vaguely about God, you know, and I do it. I'll say God, and then I try to correct myself and say Christ or, you know, the Lord, because I need to know that that person's very important, very important. I think most of us know, if not all of us, the story of Lazarus being the man that was sent to hell, the rich man, and he just wanted just a drop of water. The torment that he was going through. Do people know what hell is? And it's the words used very flippantly. You know, you hear people tell people to go there. It's like, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what hell is? You know, and I pray that I'm strong enough to say something when someone says that. And do it appropriately, not to offend or point fingers at them, but just, do you know what hell is? Do you know it is real? You know, and explain it better. Looked up 2 Peter. Let me see here. So if you can turn to 2 Peter, and my notes are a little flimsy here, I just have two. 2 Peter chapter 2. Alright. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And people think just because they're good, they're going to heaven. They don't understand. You have to be forgiven of your sins, acknowledge you're sinful, and ask for forgiveness to be saved. And it says here in verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, where'd Satan come from, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So if he did that for the beings that were closest to him, who am I? Why wouldn't he do that to me? You know, and I'm not going to make you flip to this, but, you know, John 3:16, I always, you know, that's one of people's favorite verses, but I like 17. For he said him not to destroy the world, but that the world may be saved through him. No. God doesn't want this. He didn't want that for his angels. He doesn't want it for one person. He does not want anyone to go to hell. He wants them to live with him forever and eternity. Revelation 14:10, it talks about being tormented by fire and brimstone, the smoke of torment. There's no rest. That's your life. You think your life's rough here? You get a burn? A friend of mine has a nasty burn on her arm. It looks nasty. It's like, can you imagine that being everywhere? Constantly? I don't want my friends and family to go through that. And I ask that you remember that, and I hope that you don't want your family and friends to do that. Back to work. Like I said, I worked with inmates. I saw evil face to face. I had a man that was on his deathbed with cancer, and I went to see him. And he said, Miss Rupert, he said, I did some horrible things, and he did. He really did. He said, but I've come to know Christ while I've been here. And he said, I've made my peace and I know I'm going to heaven. And I had a conversation with my husband here not too long ago. I said, now I can't wait to see my mom, my grandparents, my uncle, my, you know, all of my family that have gone on before me. But I really look forward to seeing him. I cannot remember his name. But he touched my heart, and I can't wait to see him in heaven and say, glad you made it. Glad I made it. So I'm going to close. I don't know if I went really long or really short, but I hope you take with this, search yourself and see if there's anything that you could be doing better. One of the biggest rewards, you know, and when I talk about failure, with my grandson. I wasn't praying with him. I didn't teach him how to pray. We started. My daughter came down the other night and she said, "Mom, Elliot went." So he knows. You know, and I always thought, well, he's too young to, you know, if I don't go to church, it's not a big deal. And no, he doesn't understand a lot of it, but he will. If I don't take him, he's not going to know anything. And I am helping sentence him to life of torment. And I pray that that doesn't happen to any more if I can do it. If I can help with that. And I just pray that you guys help keep people out of hell as well. Thank you for listening to me, and sorry it had to be about me, but I didn't want to point fingers, and it's easy to fall into you, because, you know, we don't like to acknowledge our own faults. It's hard. So today was about me and what I've been through, what I've witnessed God do in my life, and I know he'll continue. And again, I just pull out amazing grace and look at the words and just really feel. And you understand just how much of a blessing it is to have God in your life. Don't wait. Don't wait. Ask your friends and family. Don't wait. Don't ask God to wait. He might not. And I'm just very blessed.
Stand now for our last hymn.